Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts and meditations of this your congregation find acceptance and pleasure in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a story coming out of the Great Depression era about a young man who saw a help wanted ad in the newspaper for a position as a telegraph operator. Now, the young man had studied Morse code at home while he was unemployed, but he had no experience. So his heart sank as he joined a room full of other men seeking the same position. Still, he needed a job, so he found a chair, slumped into it, already feeling dejected. After a few minutes, however, the young man's face suddenly brightened up. He jumped out of his chair and ran into the manager's office. And within a couple minutes, the manager appeared at the door to announce that the job had been filled. Well, one of the other men who had been waiting asked with astonishment, "What did he say that landed him the job? After all, he was the last one here." The manager answered, "It was nothing," he said. "All morning long, I have been tapping out a message on my office window in Morse code. It was loud enough for all of you to hear. The message was this: if you can understand this message, come on in. You're hired." All of you heard the noise. He was the only one who was listening. It must be very frustrating for God to try and speak to some of us who are not paying attention. Since you got up this morning and made your way to this house of worship, God has been trying to speak to you through the beauty of creation, through the love of family members and friends, through the hymns that we sing, through the scripture lessons being read. In a thousand ways, God has been speaking. But yet only a few of us really hear. Old Testament lesson this morning is familiar to most of us. We've heard it perhaps 1,000 times. But have you really been listening to the story? It's rather easy to dismiss this story as just something that happened at a young age in the life of the classic Old Testament figure Samuel. What is God trying to say to you and me through this story? Samuel himself was a rather interesting figure in the Old Testament. He would be the last of the judges of Israel and the first of the classic prophets. His mother Hannah ardently desired to have a child, but for a long time she remained barren, while her husband Elkanah's other wife Peninnah was blessed with children. Though her husband tried to reassure Hannah of his fidelity, still her barrenness grieved Hannah. And during an annual pilgrimage to the shrine at Shiloh, she was praying so fervently that the elderly priest Eli mistakenly assumed that Hannah had had too much to drink. Hannah assured Eli that she had not been imbibing. And then Eli also asked God to bless Hannah with whatever it was for which she had been praying. When Hannah conceived and bore a son, she did not bring her son Samuel to Shiloh during the family's annual pilgrimage there until the child had been weaned. And then Hannah brought her son and presented him to Eli for his entire life. So it was that the young lad Samuel came to reside at the holy shrine of Shiloh under the tutelage of the old priest Eli. Samuel was given various responsibilities within the sacred precincts as Eli was bringing up the lad in accordance with the wishes of his mother, who annually would visit her son and bring him a new robe. For his part, Samuel was faithful to his responsibilities and faithful to his mentor Eli. One night, though, Samuel was awakened from sleep by a voice calling his name. Naturally, the young lad thought that Eli was calling for him, so he obediently presented himself to Eli, who assured Samuel that he had not been called for. When this happened a second time, Eli again sent Samuel back to his quarters, assuring them that he had not called. But when Samuel heard the voice calling him a third time and dutifully reported to Eli, Eli realized that it must be the voice of the Lord calling the young Samuel. So he directed Samuel to respond, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," in the event that Samuel should once again hear his name being called. And when Samuel heard the voice calling him again, he responded, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Then it was that the Lord spoke with Samuel and delivered the dire message, which involved the sins and iniquities of the two other sons of Eli. Let me ask you this. Has God spoken to you lately? Have you personally received any messages from God of late? Not a few of us have a problem believing that God still talks to anybody in our day and age. "The word of the Lord was rare in those days," writes the author of 1 Samuel, "and there were not frequent visions." The author could likely be speaking about us. Because today, we don't hear many visions. To be sure, we're willing to concede that just maybe there are a few people around here, a very few, to whom God might speak. Billy Graham, I think, was probably such an individual. Pope John Paul II, I believe, was inspired by the voice of the Lord. And Pope Francis regularly seems to be inspired by the voice of the Lord as well. There are others too, I'm sure. Just this past week, Louisiana-based televangelist Jesse Duplantis is quoted as saying, quote, "I really believe that if Jesus was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. He'd be in an airplane preaching to the gospel all over the world," unquote. And so Duplantis is asking his supporters to underwrite the purchase of a new jet, in addition to the three he already has at his service, which will enable Duplantis to go anywhere in the world in one stop. He's not alone either. Kenneth Copeland of Texas recently purchased a jet for his own use for $36 million. Both televangelists defended their use of private jets during a joint appearance on Copeland's program, saying that commercial airlines are filled with, quote, "a bunch of demons," unquote, "that get in the way of their busy schedule." And we wonder why people wonder what God is saying. Now, whether or not you believe that Duplantis and Copeland generally have the endorsement of God to purchase jets for their divine missions, and I personally entertain a lot of skepticism and reservation about it, still persons hearing the voice of the Lord may be much more common than we really want to concede. A recent survey conducted amongst the members of the Roman Catholic Church found that the majority of those who were interviewed reported having mystical, life-changing experiences with God. And yet the majority of those who reported having such experiences also said that they had never told a single soul about it. And when asked to explain that, most of them answered, "Because people would think I was crazy, or a Jesus freak or something." That's remarkable. More than half of our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters believe they have a mystical, life-changing experience with God. And I suspect that there would be little difference among Protestants, and that includes Presbyterians. And I would venture that claim could be made of the members of this Beverly Presbyterian Church as well. We hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us, directing us as to what we ought to do. But we don't tell anyone about it because we don't want to appear weird, crazy, a freak, or some sort of religious fanatic. And when that happens, we fail in the divine mission that God is entrusting and delegating to us. And yet we wonder why the work of the church seems stymied. I personally marvel at the food bank ministry of this congregation. That ministry and that mission commenced with one person hearing and listening to the voice of the Lord and then sharing that vision with others. And others caught the vision. God speaks even in our day and age. Are we listening? And are we sharing our visions and words from God with others? Furthermore, know that there is a word for religious freaks and fanatics. They're called saints. And not only God knows that we could use more saints who are genuinely and sincerely attuned and attentive to the voice and word of the Lord. It's something that could benefit all of us. And I think that's something we all recognize. I close this morning with a thought from John Calvin, the father of our Reformed and Presbyterian tradition. Calvin believed in the efficacy of the sacraments. He believed the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper had the ability to communicate the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, to anyone who would but look upon them and receive them with an open heart and mind. Hence it was that Calvin referred to the sacraments as, quote, visible words, unquote. In a few moments, everyone here will be invited to share in these visible words. Will you be watching? Will you be listening as the elements are shared with you and as the communion liturgy is read? What is God trying to speak to you through these visible words? Are you listening? Are you listening? The story of the Lord's appearance to Samuel is certainly interesting. It's been reported and shared by saints and forgiven sinners over the years, indeed the millennia, since that fateful night when Samuel heard the Lord addressing him. As that story is shared anew this morning, it prompts the question, are you prepared to hear the voice of the Lord? Rest assured, God is still speaking. Sometimes when you're sleepless at night, are you listening? And then, who will you tell about what you have heard? Let us pray. Lord, we enjoy stories, and we certainly enjoy the story of the youth Samuel, who heard your voice in the middle of the night. God, for his response, we give you thanks, for it set your people on the way of salvation. We pray, O God, that we too might hear your word, your voice, and it might set us on the way of your salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.